VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. Yesterday, Matt Staver was with us discussing, among other things, a Supreme Court victory that he was just handed, a 9-0 vote in the case known as Shurtleff versus City of Boston. Then, last evening, breaking news came out from a leak from the U.S. Supreme Court that has been substantiated now by Chief Justice John Roberts this morning, a leak from a court opinion draft that a majority of votes were there for the overturn of Roe v. Wade. The SCOTUS blog tweeted out, quote, "It's impossible to overstate the earthquake that this will cause inside the court in terms of the destruction of trust among the justices and staff. This leak is the gravest, most unforgivable sin," end of quote. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reconnected with Matt Staver at Liberty Counsel last night, and he was able to get his schedule arranged to join us back again today. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be with you on this amazing day.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we were preparing for an end-of-term decision on Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization and the possible overturn of Roe, but it appears that from one of the justices' offices, a leak came, an early draft of an opinion that indicated an overturn of Roe v. Wade. If you would just unfold this matter for us.
Yeah, in fact, after we got the 9-0 decision yesterday, I was telling some people at our office at Liberty Counsel, I said Justice Gorsuch actually, in his part of his opinion, he mentioned 1970s, the 1971, mm-hmm. that was referring to Lemon versus Kurtzman, that's an era that is gone. That was an era when the court back then was more loose with the Constitution and no more. That era has passed. And I said, well, you know what else was in the 1970s is Roe v. Wade, 1973. I wonder if that's a portent of things to come. And lo and behold, it is. So last night, like all of us, this came across my feed, and I read the Politico article, and I thought, I wonder if this is really true. It can't really be happening. And as I read the article, it had specific details. I thought, this looks very, very true. And then I got the opinion, and I looked at the opinion and said, oh, my goodness, this is the draft opinion. It was originally circulated on February 10, 2022, written by Justice Samuel Alito, joined by at least four other justices, so you have at least a majority. We don't know where Roberts is coming down on this, but you have at least five justices in this majority opinion draft. And this has been leaked. It's been leaked by somebody inside the Supreme Court. This is unreal that this actually happened. But the reason why I think somebody did this is someone in the Supreme Court is very angry with this draft opinion. And they're trying to put pressure on the justices for them to change their vote, or frankly, I think, unfortunately, it puts their lives in danger as well. Because if any one of those pass, for whatever reason, they're not around at the time that this is officially released, they're not part of the opinion. Remember Scalia. Scalia passed. It was after the Union case was argued. It was a 5-4 decision to overrule the previous 40-year precedent of unions. And Scalia died unexpectedly, and that decision then came out when it was officially released as a 4-4 decision. He would have been the fifth vote. And, of course, that meant no decision by the Supreme Court. So that case had to come back eventually, or a different one. And eventually, the Supreme Court did overrule the previous union's case. But that's the same thing here. They have to be alive at the time of the release of the opinion, and this opinion is not official yet until it's released.
Matt, I mean, this paints a target, really, on justices whom you know, a ravaged public could launch out against.
Yeah, and remember what happened during Kavanaugh's confirmation. These people were, you know, screaming and clawing at the door of the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Last night, I mean, we have videos. Our ministry center in Washington, D.C. is literally right behind the United States Supreme Court. As this was happening, and even now as we speak, we're part of the annual Bible reading marathon that's actually happening in our ministry center, reading every word of the Bible, beginning in Genesis, ending in Exodus. So we have a staff right there, and they went out in front of the Supreme Court. People had already gathered out there, protesters, and there were women issuing blood-curdling screams, kind of like you heard, remember that during the inauguration of President Donald Trump. These people were just screaming up into the sky. And you had women doing that last night, or people doing that last night in front of the United States Supreme Court. This was not human. I mean, this was just
demonic.
My word, demonic.
Yeah.
I think it was very dark spiritualness that's part of this whole abortion death culture. So with that happening, those spontaneous protests, in fact, I just got an email. We receive an email, or we get an email sent to us by someone who gets the emails from these protesters up in D.C., and they're planning some additional protests at the Supreme Court. They say they're not going to go away or stay silent. And I believe it. When they say they're not going to be silent, that doesn't mean they're just going to be out there, you know, marching around nicely. They're going to be loud and boisterous.
Yeah, they were banging at the doors before. I mean, banging on the very doors of the U.S. Supreme Court. I'm just wondering if that same fencing that's been around the Capitol is going to be put up around the court. It seems there will be a double standard there.
Yeah, they started putting that up last night, in fact.
Oh, they did?
They started putting the fencing back up. We actually have, this is the National Day of Prayer, National Prayer this week, and
Thursday
would be that National Day of Prayer. We have different prayer events out in front of the Supreme Court. I don't know whether those are going to continue on or not, and then you have the National Day of Prayer on Thursday. But there's obviously going to be some changes at the Supreme Court. Chief Justice John Roberts, as you mentioned, he has indicated this is an authentic opinion, and it's not going to be official until it's officially released, so it doesn't represent the opinion of the court yet. Obviously, there's no dissents on this opinion, and there's no concurring opinions. It's just the majority opinion. Those dissents are being written by the dissenters or the concurrence by the concurrences, and they're probably still in the progress. So I encourage the court, I would urge the court to expedite those and get it out earlier. We can't wait till the end of June, because 2 months puts a target on the backs of all of these justices that are in the majority, and it unnecessarily puts their lives at risk, unfortunately. So pray for the justices and for their security and protection and their health.
Matt, you were talking about the events at the Supreme Court outside last evening, the spontaneous events. And sometimes I wonder how spontaneous is it when you see people carrying signs already? I mean, here the leak had just happened. You get people all of a sudden assembled there with signs.
Well,
standing with Planned Parenthood, I guess.
Right. I think the person, whoever it was in the court that released this, likely has some other kind of connections with other people or and/or groups that probably notified some people, certainly the media, Politico, that this was going to happen, because they came out there very quickly, a large group, and they had signs. And that seems very unusual, no question. I think it's probably one of the law clerks and one of the justices. Of course, no one knows yet. That investigation's underway. Mm-hmm. Those law clerks are attorneys that have passed the bar. If it is one of those law clerks, their law license, their career is toast, I'm sure. It could have been one of the staffers. There's a few small number of staffers that have access to these particular opinions, but obviously they'll be able to find out who copied this, who emailed it, who downloaded it, and I'm sure they'll be questioning these individuals up there to get to the bottom of who leaked it.
Yeah, I mean, the Chief Justice said this was a singular and egregious breach of that trust that is an affront to the court and the community of public servants who work there. We understand that he has ordered the investigation to take place to find the source of that very leak.
Yeah, he has ordered it. I'm sure they'll find the source of that leak. That person will obviously face whatever punishment, depending upon what kind of a person that is. If it's one of the clerks, they're going to face, you know, other kinds of punishment in addition to their law license and their career being affected. But it is an egregious leak. I mean, it's really unprecedented. There have been some leaks in the past. I mean, you had sent me an article about even Roe v. Wade was rumored before it was actually decided, and then the media apparently got a copy of the opinion just before the court announced it, so they had some advanced knowledge of it. But we have not seen these kinds of leaks to this extent. I mean, this is a full-blown majority opinion. And by the way, it's 98 pages with 31 pages of appendix. Those appendix actually cite all of the different cases, all the different statutes from the different states going back to the 1800s. And it does that to show that abortion was not deeply rooted in our what they call concept of ordered liberty, but in fact there was this overwhelming evidence that abortion was prohibited and even criminalized by these states, and that Roe v. Wade is a complete aberration of not only history but of the Constitution. In fact, there's some great, great quotes that Justice Alito has in this decision, and maybe as we go through the program we can talk about some of those quotes.
Yeah.
And the implications, not only for abortion, what is next, but also for other issues outside of abortion with regards to the so-called stare decisis or reliance upon precedents. This case goes into a lot of that. It is a masterpiece, well-written material.
Well, again, what Matt referred to in the Roe case, worldviewreport.com does have a link on their site to an NPR story that indicates the original Roe decision was leaked to the press just prior to the court making that announcement, greatly upset Chief Justice Warren Burger, and has said that that's what he came up this with his 22nd rule, in which any law clerk caught talking to a reporter would be fired in under half a minute. I mean, this is how serious they take secrecy, the whole aspect of, I should say, confidentiality until that position is released by the court itself.
Yeah, and it's a really high achievement to become a clerk at the United States Supreme Court, and they certainly go through those protocols in great detail and emphasize those. And that's why you had such a consistent history of these very controversial cases and important cases that have not been leaked up until now. So what was happening here is this majority opinion was circulated in February, and it would be recirculated after, you know, continually reviewing it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, the other justices would be looking at it, and they would be writing their dissents. And some of those might write a concurring opinion and add some additional information from their perspective. But what we do know is that it's a majority, and that means Alito was the one writing it, and that is because there's at least five justices in this majority. So we know that for sure, and we know that things could change. Remember, back in 1992.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was going to point out, Matt, because since it's not been officially released yet, any one of these justices can be pressured or intimidated to change their vote.
Yeah, so this is a huge issue, huge issue. So we're literally on the precipice, really on the very edge of historic things happening that will reverberate across our country and in the world, indeed. But it's not over until it's over. And back in 1992, in April, the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision was argued, and the vote was to overturn Roe. Rehnquist was writing the majority opinion. It was 5-4, but Kennedy was lobbied and pressured by Souter and O'Connor, who were on the bench. And then on the last day of May, second to last day of May, he wrote a note to Blackmun, who wrote the 1973 Roe decision. He said, "I want to speak with you. Most of what I have to say, you'll be pleased to hear." They met the very next day, the last day of May, and then consequently he changed his vote. The decision was taken away from Rehnquist, and then it came out as a plurality opinion with Kennedy, O'Connor, and Souter upholding but modifying Roe v. Wade.
Matt Staver with us here today from Liberty Council. We got a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to look into this opinion, this early draft of the opinion, and find out some of the takeaways from it, as well as get into that issue of stare decisis. So stay with us. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is there any evidence that man and dinosaurs lived together?
Yes, indeed there is, Chris. The Bible even describes dinosaur-like beasts in the book of Job, and Job lived after the flood. Also, we see numerous places where native peoples drew pictures of dinosaur-like beasts. Almost every nation around the world has legends of dragons, huge reptilian beasts that sound very much like our modern-day reconstructions of dinosaurs. Recently, some very interesting burial stones have been excavated from tombs in South America, which clearly show dinosaurs and humans together. These stones date from long before dinosaurs were reconstructed from their fossils. As far as we know, no dinosaurs are alive today, but we have good evidence that dinosaur-like beasts existed along with humans in the not-too-distant past. It all started back in Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Last evening, a leak from the Supreme Court of the United States indicating in an early draft that Roe v. Wade is destined for the trash heap of history. Well, it all boils down to when that decision is actually released by the court. And certainly it would behoove this court to get this decision released sooner than later. Matt, let me just ask you this here before we dissect some of the opinion written here. Can a majority on the court force the release of this, or is this all at the behest of the Chief Justice?
It's really going to be in the hands of the Chief Justice. Now, obviously, the rest of them could really try to put pressure on the Chief, but I think the Chief Justice is the one who's going to say it's ready to go, and everyone's got their opinions in, and it's ready for release. Mm-hmm. So he's going to make that decision on timing. But I would just only assume that he understands the critical nature of expediting this.
Yes.
I know a case like this would typically be the last one of the last day of the term, which would be the end of June, and then they would get, you know, finished with all their decisions. But that's almost 2 months away, and we can't wait now for that, because mm-hmm. what you're going to have is a crescendoing of protest until it's finalized. And who knows, you know, we've seen how things got out of hand with the Black Lives Matters protest all over the country, and we don't want to see that happening in our nation's capital.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Their website is lc.org. LC, that stands for Liberty Counsel, LC.org. Matt, so I've got a copy as well. It's labeled First Draft, circulated by Justice Alito on February 10th, 2022. And again, just to point out, as the Chief Justice John Roberts said, this is though it's an authentic document, an authentic draft, it does not represent a decision by the court, nor does it represent the final position of any member. I mean, it's a draft in progress. So, Matt, as you looked at this draft in progress, what stood out to you? What did Justice Alito argue, and others joining him in that? What stood out to you? What's your takeaway?
A refreshing overview of history and the Constitution, a real attempt to grapple with the original understanding of the Constitution and look at history. That's what stood out to me. And the bold statements about how wrong the court was in Roe v. Wade. For example, this goes back free the United States, and then it goes into common law, and then it goes into the statutes, and it goes into the states and what they were doing. And this is part of the 31-page appendix of these state statutes that predated Roe v. Wade. And it shows this overwhelming history where abortion was prohibited and criminalized. And then along comes Roe v. Wade and how it just simply said, well, we don't know where the right is. It's in the First, it's in the Fourth, it's in the Fifth, it's in the Ninth Amendment, it's in the 14th Amendment. We don't know where. It's in a combination of those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it actually could be emanating from the exterior edges of the Constitution. They called it the penumbra, like an eclipse. It really dismantles that and makes that whole back history just looked nonsensical, mm-hmm. as it clearly is. For example, the decision just has so many statements that are so encouraging and solid. It says Roe was egregiously wrong from the start. We hold that Roe and Casey must be overruled. It's time to heed the Constitution and return the issue of abortion to the people's elected representatives. The draft opinion continues in another place. The Constitution makes no reference to abortion, and no such right is implicitly protected by any constitutional provision, including the one on which the defenders of Roe and Casey now chiefly rely. It goes on to say that Roe's reasoning was exceptionally weak, and the decision has had damaging consequences. And far from bringing about a national settlement of the abortion issue, Roe and Casey have inflamed debate and deepened division. And I also was pleasantly pleased to see that our amicus brief was noted in footnote 41 of the case. It actually cites our amicus brief for our argument that abortion has a eugenics history, that the supporters were motivated by a desire to suppress the size of the African-American population, and that's Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger. And it says, quote, and it's beyond dispute that Roe has had its demographic impact or effect. a highly disproportionate percentage of aborted fetuses are black, it says, and it cites to some statistics here. So our brief is actually made it into the United States Supreme Court draft opinion. But it goes on and on. I mean, it is a solid piece of scholarship, and it is irrefutable when you read this in terms of there is just no basis in history or law, and I think for abortion. And I think this also bodes well because it goes to another thing. It goes into something called stare decisis.
Page 35 on this, Matt, it starts to address stare decisis.
Yeah.
And talks and goes into page 39 as well on the, you know, what they deal with the issue of precedence.
Yeah, and so stare decisis is a term that is used about precedent, relying upon past precedents. And in fact, the interesting thing is it says, you know, Casey in 1992 was going to overturn Roe, but then Kennedy changed his mind. And their excuse for not overturning Roe is that, well, they wanted to uphold stare decisis. Well, the ironic thing is that this opinion says, well, in saying they're going to uphold stare decisis, because if they don't, people will lose confidence in the court, even if the decision was wrong. In other words, they're going to uphold stare decisis, past precedent, even if the past precedent was wrong. Why? So people won't lose confidence in the court. That's what the 1992 decision said. At the same time that decision said that, it actually overruled parts of Roe, and it overruled other cases as well. So it's really hypocritical. But what this does is it goes over the analysis for why you would overrule a past precedent and that you would not continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again just because a previous decision was decided. Mm-hmm. If the previous decision was wrong, it's wrong, and you need to overturn it and bring it more in line with the Constitution. That bodes well not only for this, with wiping out all the abortion cases at the Supreme Court, but what it will set as a standard for looking at other cases that have also gone off the rail and relied upon bad past precedent. And here we have, you know, one, for example, that actually overruled past precedent and frankly should be overruled itself, and that is the Obergefell case, the 2015 same-sex marriage case at the United States Supreme Court. That parted with past precedent. It actually overruled past precedent. And now people argue, well, you can't overrule it because it's stare decisis, it's precedent. No, it's wrong, just like Roe was wrong, and it needs to be jettisoned, and anything else needs to be jettisoned that is wrong, and you need to become more consistent with and aligned with the Constitution.
Indeed. Matt, secular media is just in a meltdown right now over this as well, and the reports and the rhetoric. I mean, ABC News reported that this would overturn 50 years of constitutional law.
Yeah, well, it would overturn 50 years of bad precedent. I wouldn't call it constitutional law because it was never constitutional to begin with. Mm-hmm. It would overturn 50 years of past precedent and come back more consistent with the Constitution. But what did Roe do? It overturned 185 years or even more of past law and history and common law and statutes with a stroke of a pen and had no basis for doing so. So, yeah, it's going to overturn 50 years of the most damaging decision that we've ever seen in the United States history, and that is Roe v. Wade and all of its abortion cases that came after it. Not only damaging to the integrity of the United States Supreme Court and its judicial activism phase that I think that we are now moving away from, but also the damaging, irreparable harm that it has caused to unborn children who have lost their lives and to the mothers and to the families of those unborn children.
And, Matt, this really brings out another point because I find it very interesting that Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, who is soon going to be joining MSNBC, but she calls the pro-life laws, she used the term archaic. And I like what LifeNews.com pointed out. It is actually the ancient civilizations that practiced child sacrifice. That's what was really archaic.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you think of Moloch, but there's been a lot of civilizations that have practiced child sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That is archaic. That is barbaric. Mm-hmm. And yet that's, in fact, what abortion is child sacrifice. That's been happening under the guise of the 1973 abortion opinion. That is archaic. That's barbaric. You know, this is coming from the same people that say men can bear children, that men are women and women
crazy
are men, depending upon what they think, and that you can have a midwife to help a man bear a child. I mean, that's the kind of nonsense that's coming out of this administration,
yeah,
whether it's Psaki or Biden or some of his other individuals that he's appointed, like Xavier Becerra of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Matt, what's next then for abortion? I mean, first of all, this opinion must get released sooner than later.
Yeah.
If this is upheld and the actual opinion released comes out very similar to what we see here from this draft that came out, what is next then for abortion? What happens? This is not such where this would ban all abortions all across the United States, right?
No, it wouldn't. It would actually just return the issue to the states. It would actually put the United States in the row position prior to where we were on January 22, 1973, changed all that. January 21, it was in the state's jurisdiction. Now, I know some people obviously would like the Supreme Court to go to the next step and say, well, under the 14th Amendment, an unborn child is a person protected under the Constitution and they have a right to life. That was not the issue before the court. That would be an entirely different case. What was the issue is the past precedent, and do they need to overrule it, or do they need to strike down this Mississippi law that banned abortion after 15 weeks? And this draft majority opinion overrules all this past precedent, sweeps it away, meaning now it goes back to the states. Well, for most of the states, you already have laws that are in effect that are very restrictive and will essentially ban abortion. There's going to be more effort to that effect. In some states, for example, even some of the purple states perhaps, or even some of the so-called blue states now, they weren't so blue back then, or they were more common sense with red or blue. It didn't really matter because they all had a consensus on protecting the sanctity of human life. So some of those statutes that were on the books on January 22, 1973, are still on the books. They've never been removed or repealed from the statutes. Those don't just automatically go away. Once you remove the restraint on those laws, they come back into effect. So even in some of those states where it might be a different political mix now, they may have laws come back into effect that ban, criminalize abortion, even from early on, the moment of conception. There will be some states like California, like New York, like some of these other very radically oriented pro-abortion states that have passed or will pass abortion laws that are as liberal, perhaps even more liberal, than what we have in Roe v. Wade. I think those states are already going through essentially a moral bankruptcy anyway, and you saw that with people leaving them during all the lockdowns. I've always said if they don't respect your life, they're not going to respect your freedom, and there's a correlation between the two. I think you also find some, in addition to a lot of activity at the state level, with the vast, vast majority of states banning abortion, you're going to find some activity happening on the United States level as well.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. Friends, we're opening our phone lines. Your questions for Matt Staver on this issue today are number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We're talking about the leak, a draft of a SCOTUS opinion that would overturn Roe v. Wade. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel, and we're discussing the leak that came out last night. Where did that leak come from? Was it a justice? Was it a law clerk? Where did it come from? Well, Chief Justice Roberts wants to get down to the bottom of it to find the source of that leak. Meanwhile, we're also seeing something that's tragic as well, Matt, and that is Reuters reporting the online marketplace company Amazon told its employees Monday it will give up to $4,000 a year for travel expenses for elective abortions. It applies to other non-threatening medical treatments, too, but we understand they're joining with Citigroup and Apple, Yelp, Levi Strauss, and other companies that are giving their female employees money to go to another state if their state does not allow it to go and kill their unborn babies.
That's just shameful. I mean, it's just unbelievable. This culture of death, this demonic grip, needs to be broken. And I think, you know, more as these companies, just like Disney, they went over the line. They lost market share. They're going to continue to lose market share. People are going to reject them. I think that's going to happen with some of these companies as well. When they start going into this area of abortion and pushing that, and pushing it on the American people and doing these kind of outlandish situations, they're going to be seen for what they really are. I think the mask is coming off, and you can see how radical and, frankly, demonic some of this really is. I think you're going to see a lot of, in addition, you know, we talked about activity on the state level. I think you're going to see some on the federal level. You've got the Born Alive Act that would ban abortion or would ban infanticide, people who were intended for abortion but are left to die. That one is pending. There's over 250 co-sponsors of that. We only need a few more people on the House and Senate side to pass it. Really, we're very close. I think you're going to see that. On the other hand, elections do matter, both on the state and federal level, because, you know, you already see Biden says he wants to pass legislation that would codify Roe. So this coming midterm election is going to be very, very important for who serves in Congress, in the House and Senate. It's going to be very, very important on the state level as well.
Let's go to the phone lines. We have Mike calling in from Phoenix, Arizona. Mike, you're on the air.
So I am wondering how, if this decision comes out like we're hoping it does or praying it does, how this will affect Gorsuch's recent decision, I can't find the site for it, about 2020, where he pulled a Roe and extended homosexual, so-called homosexual rights, into the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be on weak ground. I don't think this case will directly affect it. I think it will affect the 2015, or the reasoning of the stare decisis. It's going to be a completely separate challenge, however, separate issue. But I think it will affect the 2015 Obergefell same-sex marriage case. With regards to his, he was focusing on the statute as opposed to the Constitution. And I think it was a bad, bad decision. Gorsuch has been very, very good. But in that one case, that one decision, very, very bad. Other than that, he's been excellent. And he looks like he's part of the majority opinion here. But I think that's going to be ultimately addressed at some point in the future. And I think, in part, the legislature can change, and they can change that law. And the way we do that is we put in people that have good values in Washington, D.C.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Let's see. We've got next Eric calling from Loria, Michigan. You're on the air.
Yes, Matt. And I'd like to ask, did they ever figure out who leaked the Roe v. Wade documents back in 73, and were they held responsible, or did they become a hero of the left?
And let me mention this, because I don't know if Matt's – have you seen that NPR article?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, so it's according to NPR article on this issue, it was a Supreme Court clerk named Larry Hammond who told Time – staff reporter David Beckwith that he was a law school acquaintance that the Roe ruling was coming. According to a lawyer, he gave Beckwith some information on the background. It was only to be reported once the opinion came down from the court, but the ruling was slightly delayed and the week's magazine ended up hitting newsstands a few hours too soon. And this enraged Warren Berger, who did an investigation. We understand this. Hammond offered his resignation to his boss, Justice Lewis Powell, according to the article. Powell didn't accept it, instead called Berger to tell him. Hammond had been double-crossed here by the media. And so that's what we understand took place at that time. This was something that was just hours before the decision rather than perhaps a month or two before the decision.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. Peter in Alamo, Texas, you're on the air.
Yes. This isn't the that the court has been changed. Wasn't it back when the slaves were not considered people?
Dred Scott. Yeah, Peter, you're referring to the Dred Scott decision?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
What's the question? The Dred Scott decision was a bad decision, obviously.
Yeah, but I guess Peter's point is that, hey, this is not the first time something's being overturned.
Dred Scott, yeah. No, in fact, that's what Alito's majority draft opinion goes into. It goes into some detail about cases that have been overturned because they've been bad and inconsistent with the Constitution.
Yeah. Yep. Great point, Peter.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for the call. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We have Barbara calling in from Kansas. You're on the air, Barbara.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate you giving so much attention to this since I'm pro-life. But I wondered if either of you could remember in the past hearing someone say that in the future this issue of killing the unborn would cause another civil war in America because both sides are so adamant in how they feel about it. And I would appreciate if either of you could tell me. I can't remember who that was, and I can't even remember the year that I heard that. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Matt, any recollector?
I don't recall a specific person. I've heard that before, but I don't recall a specific person that would be singularly attributed to.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it has caused internal civil war, not in a sense of arms and so forth. But the court has said back in 73 and 1992 that we ought to just come together as a consensus and we ought to accept their view. Well, obviously, that didn't work. And obviously, where we are now is there's going to be big division. But the good news is the majority of our young people are trending pro-life. So that is good news for the future, and you see that when you go to Washington, D.C. for the annual March for Life. It is dominated by young people. The young people are rejecting this abortion ideology and mentality, and now the court is doing so too. Those young people will eventually become those local, state, and federal legislators of the future.
Let's go next to George in Olney, Illinois. George, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I think it's about filthy lucre, and the root of evil is the love of money. And there are so many people who are making so much money and not paying taxes on it off of the abortion industry that, you know, they're saying we can't do without it. You've got to keep it going. And sex trafficking also has a root in that.
Yeah, well, in fact, we represent Sandra Merritt in the case. We just, in fact, had oral argument at the Court of Appeals where Planned Parenthood filed suit against her. But she revealed what was going on with Planned Parenthood and the harvesting of baby body parts and the selling of those baby body parts by third parties, organ procurement companies, to research facilities. And then they were getting paid by the National Institutes of Health for research by Fauci's agency. And that is a very lucrative business out there. You know, we had the famous quote from the person who said she wanted a Lamborghini, and that's why she was doing what she was doing.
Yep, driven by the money. Thank you, George. West Dallas, Wisconsin. Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. It was interesting that other caller brought up Dred Scott. I wanted to bring it up, too. It would never be used as precedent today, obviously.
Right.
What it does is illustrate the folly of using precedent and case law to make decisions now and yet wind up making the same mistakes over and over again as a result.
Yeah, that's making the same mistake and repeating it again and repeating it again. And so when they want you to repeat the same mistake again, they raise stare decisis. When they don't want you to do it, they forget about it. And so the whole argument about not overruling Roe is, well, we can't figure out where it's grounded in the Constitution because, frankly, it's not. But you have to affirm it anyway because it's, quote, stare decisis, soundly rejected by Alito's majority opinion.
Thank you. Thanks, Brad. Let's go to Sardinia, Ohio. And Linda, you're calling Crosstalk. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Matt Staver is exactly right about those judges pro-life being in danger, and I'm asking for the church and the Christians to pray for their safety, and the sooner that this is all settled and not to wait, because we know how corrupt the left is and how people end up dying or disappearing. Anyway, I know I shouldn't have said that, but that's the way it is. Anyway, pray for these justices. Thank you.
Thank Bye-bye. You, Linda. Matt, talk about the importance of prayer in such a time
goodness,
as this.
Yes. Right now, more important than anything is pray for these justices, pray for their protection, pray for their health. This needs to come out as an official opinion. And it's not an official opinion yet. It is. We are so close. You can see it, but it's not there yet. So pray for them, because now more than ever, they need protection and they need good health.
Friends, our telephone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Your questions for Matt, your brief comments today as we have the leaked draft of the Supreme Court decision coming out that would overturn Roe v. Wade if this stands. Let's go to Holly next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Because of the leak, I believe SCOTUS is being pressured.
Yeah. Oh,
I believe
right. I
just like the 2020 election, SCOTUS refused to hear the evidence due to the concern of riots like Antifa and what happened in the summer of 2020. So I pray that SCOTUS will have a vote to abolish abortion, get rid of it. And to me, it's from time of conception, not a 15-week-old or a 12-week-old fetus.
Right. Matt?
No, I agree with that. And in fact, a number of states, in fact, Oklahoma just banned it from the moment of conception. And there's only one exception, and that is if the mother's life is directly in danger, not mental health. It's, you know, life for life is really what it is. And I think you're going to see more and more states do that. I think actually Mississippi, after this decision is officially released, will go back and pass another law that puts it all the way back to the moment of conception rather than 15 weeks.
Thank you, Holly, for your call here today. We've got Joel calling from Iowa. Joel, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. thank you so much for your program. I really enjoy it. Two questions, actually. One, I was wondering, and he may have just answered this, I was a little bit behind on the radio. What would happen? How many states, if Roe was overturned, would it become illegal? And another question is, how long before the Chief Justice can officially release this, or could he release it today? I'll take my question off the air. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you, Joel.
Yeah, I don't have the exact count of the states, but I would say it's going to be only, you know, less than a dozen states would ultimately still have some form of radical abortion, and maybe that's only about six or eight. Some of those are going to still have some abortion at some level, but the majority of them are going to ban abortion, and what you're going to see is a flurry of activity to ban abortion after this decision is officially released. There's no question about that. I think you're going to see some efforts like that at the federal level as well. But I think you're also going to see other contrary efforts by people to try to liberalize abortion. So it's going to be a real battle on both the state and federal legislative levels, thus the reason for good elections. You know, probably about 20 years ago, Jim, I said, and I've just always had a strong conviction of this, that I'll live to see the day that overturns Roe versus Wade. And I've never doubted about that. And I think we are literally on the edge of history here that will have national and international precedent.
We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. On my radio show the other day, I played the audio clip of a news report from Channel 2 in Atlanta, Georgia. It was a news report from 2010, and I stress it was from 2010. And what were they reporting on? The individuals tied to terrorist organizations and terror states coming over the border of the United States, coming from countries like Yemen, Iraq, Sudan, Pakistan. My friends, there are overwhelming reports of Iranian terrorist and Hezbollah individuals coming to America, one way through Venezuela. Venezuela is in a massive alliance with China and Russia. My friends, the terror cells are here, thousands of terror cells are here in the United States. What I'm telling you is not to scare you, but to warn you, the enemies, foreign and domestic, that are here.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel, and we're talking about the leak at the Supreme Court and its ramifications as well. Let's go right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We have Andy calling in from Princeton. That would be Princeton, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Andy.
That's correct. I tend to bicker with Matt on the Constitution not saying that abortion is not in there. It's written life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Now, I believe we have limited liberties, and these have gone far. People have abused that. And one of the presidents, I think it was, that was asked what a constitutional republic is, and he responded, what God rules for, we do not rule against. I believe that is a saying right there, that abortion, if it's murdering little babies, it's not abortion.
I think you might have misunderstood my position. I didn't say that the Constitution doesn't have that in it. I'm saying that this decision doesn't have that in it. This decision, the question before, was not what the Constitution grants as a right with regards to life, but what about its previous precedent that it issued on abortion, and so it's wiping all of that away. I think what I said was that issue of the right to life is going to be saved for another case that will come before the Supreme Court, but I agree that the Constitution says the person has the right to life and due process. Well, who is a person? What is a person? Well, that person is someone who is, from the moment of conception, an identifiable, genetically unique individual made in the very image of God. So I think that that is a case that will come down the pipe at some point.
Okay. Hi, thank you very much.
Great. Thank you for the call. And again, the words life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, as you mentioned, though, that's from the Declaration of Independence.
That's from the Declaration, sure.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And also, I just want to, make mention Family Policy Alliance recently sent out a map of the U.S. at familypolicyalliance.com. And they show the number of states of which many protections looks like at least a third of the country, Matt. Few protections, though, for this matter of life. They have states like Washington and Oregon, Nevada, California, Colorado, New Mexico, Kansas. I mean, there's a number of states that have very few protections for life. And if you go, folks, to familypolicyalliance.com, and look for that after row, you'll find out that map on where your state stands on the issues. Let's go to Nancy next in Milwaukee. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to share the importance of prayer.
Yes.
As I look at this issue right now, I believe that the Lord may have saved those majority justices' very lives by allowing this to be leaked out. Because now people are seeing, they're reading what these men and women are standing up for life, for righteousness, for truth. They're also, we know where they stand, and anything now when people come against them, we know what it is. You know, we can see it clearly. And by putting pressure on Chief Justice, I believe that that may help him to do the right thing, because we know he has swerved in wrong directions mm-hmm. in recent past.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so I just encourage people with thankful hearts to continue to go to the Lord.
Yeah.
And like the God's people prayed for godly judges in the olden days, God gave them judges that stood up and defended the people. And so I give thanks for those godly justices and for Liberty Counsel. You're in our prayers, and the Lord is with you, and we are so thankful for you and each of those justices and praying for them. We must be vigilant and continue to lift all of you up to the Lord Almighty.
Thank you, Nancy, for that. And let me just mention this, and Matt's already commented on prayer. Lord willing, this Thursday on National Day of Prayers Crosstalk, Sam Rohrer from American Pastors Network will be joining us, and we'll be talking about the importance of prayer and repentance as a nation. And just as a nation, we have forgotten God, and trust you'll be able to join us for it. Peter is calling from Burbank, California. Peter, you're on the air with Matt Staver.
Yes, I'll be very brief. I would say that, and I definitely agree with your guest, as people on the right, we have to set up also solutions simultaneously to provide for those troubled women who have to who go and make this decision to be able to give birth and to look after them and their child, and to make this known to the world that this is what we're trying to do, to make sure that those lives are of quality and of quantity too as well.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Matt, your comment.
No, I think you're right. There's been a huge movement towards that effect, but obviously more can be done. And I encourage, as we were talking about churches praying, churches can also get involved in the issue of adoption and support crisis pregnancy centers and adoption facilities and adoption ministries as well, and be involved in it and encourage your people, and teach them about the sanctity of human life and raising children.
We've got Mark in Newark, Ohio. Mark, you're on the air.
Thank you. Is this Matt Staver on here, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I'm glad that you pointed out to that one guy what he was talking about being in the Constitution, not in the Constitution. Thanks for that. Secondly, I can see where the abortion issue is so intense with a lot of people because I witnessed to a non-believer. She was an atheist. And she was in her 70s. And she considered the I can't remember what you called that in the womb, the person in the womb. She considered that a parasite, means that they're not alive until they're born. And I sat there, I said, and now you are claiming that people don't have the right to kill. Then I asked her, I said, now how can you do that when that person in the womb has already been certified as a live person through documents of science and medical.
Thank you, Mark. And I have to interrupt you because we only got a half a minute left. Matt, your response.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, this is a life from the moment of conception, unique. Each person is unique and created in the image of God. So this is a great great development that we have, but as I want to reemphasize, continue to pray, and get involved because the battle is going to continue. But this is a historic moment.
Amen. Thank you. Matt Staver from Liberty Council. Thanks for carving out the time, Matt.
Thank you. My pleasure.
LC.org is a website. And friends, remember, it's God who has made us. He's knit us together in our mother's womb. And we're also told that God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. God bless you, folks. Continue to pray. And thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.